we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4, 8 through 10. If you got your Bibles, Genesis is the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 4, 8 through 10. Somebody say the blood. The blood is so powerful. There's life in the blood. Blood identifies you. Blood carries your life force. Blood tells you who you are. What we're going to be learning today, that blood cries out also. Genesis chapter 4, 8 through 10 says, "Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' 'I don't know,' he replied. 'Am I my brother's keeper?' Then the Lord said, 'What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.'" Go a little to the right and go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I'll give you a second to get there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Where it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that your word is as a double-edged sword, piercing asunder soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of each heart. I thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful and never returns back to you void, but it goes and accomplishes that which it was sent out to do in the first place. I thank you, Lord, that our hearts are good ground. And I pray, Lord, that your word as a seed may produce a fruit in our lives, Father God, that will produce a seed of righteousness and life and a life of victory. I thank you, Lord, that the ones hearing today are not hearers only, but doers of your word. And I thank you, Lord, that the words that you speak are not suggestions, but they are ordinances that we are to live by. And I thank you, Father God, for the hunger of each person here to know you more and to know more about you. I thank you that your word is liberating. I thank you that your word sets people free. I thank you, Lord, that your word was ordained to be spoken to us so we could have knowledge of who you are and your will for our life. And I thank you that your will is revealed to us through your word. So now open our ears of our understanding that we may hear and that we may live the way you want us to live, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Before I keep on going, I want to thank Jake and Miss Jennifer for coming and visiting us here today. You guys are awesome. Had pizza with them a couple months back and then bumped into them into IKEA. So that was cool. And now they're here. Well, praise God. Ephesians 1:7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." The elementary teaching, the elementary thought process of the blood of Jesus Christ is that the blood of Jesus Christ washes us from all of our sins. And though that is true, the benefits of the blood of Christ that was poured out for us 2,000 years ago don't stop at just our salvation. There are many other things that Christ died for us to receive. Every single thing that he went through, from the Garden of Gethsemane to the moment he spent before Pontius Pilate, to the time that he spent getting whipped by the cat of nine tails, to the time that he spent those 6 hours hanging on the cross on that Friday, every single one of those things was significant for our life in every single area of our life. The things that he uttered before he actually gave his spirit away, the things that happened when he gave his spirit up to God, and the temple split from top to bottom. Every single thing had significance. And the day that we begin to truly understand and capture the significance of all it meant when Christ poured out his blood for us, not only on the cross, but even from Gethsemane, is the day our life will go from being a victim to becoming a victor. From going through struggles to becoming an overcomer. From truly living out the life that Christ's death warranted for us while he did his sacrifice on the cross. And just to evidence a little bit about what Christ's blood did for us, I'm going to tell you a story. And I know I like stories. There was a doctor back a long time ago called Louis Pasteur. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Louis Pasteur had a co-worker. And both of them, they were involved in a development of what used to be called the germ theory. You ever heard of the germ theory? I just heard about it now. And his co-worker was named Dr. Felix Roux. Somebody say Dr. Felix Roux. Dr. Roux's granddaughter had died of black diphtheria. And he vowed that he would find a cure for what had killed his granddaughter. In fact, he locked himself in his laboratory for days. And he emerged from that laboratory with a fierce determination to prove with his colleague, Louis Pasteur, that the germ theory was more than just a theory. The French Medical Association had disapproved of Pasteur and had succeeded in getting him exiled. And he did not go far from Paris. Pasteur and Roux hid in a forest nearby and they made a laboratory in which they continued this forbidden research of germ theory. It's going to get good. As part of that research one day, 20 beautiful horses, the strongest horses in that country, they rounded up into the lab. Dr. Roux opened up a steel vault and he took out a large pail filled with the black diphtheria germs. And he began to go from horse to horse and he began to swab the nostrils, tongue, and throat and the eyes of these horses with this deadly germ. Every single horse except one developed a terrific fever and died. For several more days, this final horse lingered, living pathetically on the ground. Roux and Pasteur thought that the horse would only last one more night, so they had cots brought in into the barn so they could be close by. An orderly was instructed to watch the horse and awaken Louis Pasteur and Dr. Roux should there be any change in the animal's temperature. And about 2 a.m. in the morning, the temperature showed a half degree decrease in the horse's temperature. And then the orderly awakened Dr. Roux. And by morning, the thermometer had dropped 2 more degrees. And by the next night, the fever was entirely gone and the horse was able to stand, eat, and drink. A few days later, when the horse was completely well, in other words, he had defeated the diphtheria, Dr. Roux took a sledgehammer and he struck the horse, the beautiful horse, with a death blow between the eyes. Then the scientist drew all the blood from the veins of this animal that had developed the black diphtheria, but had overcome it. And Roux and Pasteur took that blood and drove as fast as they could to the municipal hospital in Paris. Then they forced their way past the superintendent and the guards and went into the ward where 300 babies lay, segregated to die from black diphtheria. And with the blood of the horse, they inoculated every single one of those babies. And all but 3 babies lived, recovered completely. 297 babies beat the diphtheria, and only 3 of them died. And they were saved by the blood of that overcoming horse. Pasteur, Louis Pasteur, and Roux provided the only cure. Now, I think you know where I'm going with this. When we are saved, only the blood of an overcomer could come and wash away and get rid of the sickness called sin in our life. Ephesians chapter 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. See, many things could try to come and try to cover up the symptoms of sin. Many things could come and try to cover up the consequences of sin. But there's only one blood, one redemption, one atonement, one thing that is there that could truly solve the problem of sin, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. So the cross is so significant for our life. It's important. It's precious to us because the one who hung over 2,000 years ago did so as our substitute. He died in our place and he shed his blood on that cross to provide the only cure, not only for our sin, but for our deliverance, for our redemption, for our healing, so we could stand up and so we could be mighty in God through what he did for us on the cross. The hymn, one of the most beautiful hymns that I've ever sung when I was a Presbyterian, said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can cure me and make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is crying out to us from 2,000 years back. It's still crying out to us today, and it's going to still continue to cry out to us tomorrow. The only thing we have to do when you're going through your struggles, when sin is trying to condemn you and bring you down, all you have to do is incline your ear to that blood of Jesus crying out to you, saying that it was poured out so for your forgiveness, that there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we have to be able to listen to that blood that's crying out to us. Just as the blood of Abel was crying out to Cain and was crying out to God, so the blood of Christ is crying out to us. Nothing but the blood brings redemption for our life. Acts chapter 20, verse 8 tells us, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Which he bought with his own blood. We were on the slavery block of sin. Satan already had a stronghold over us. The law has come and it condemned us to death. It was created in such a way that there would be absolutely nothing we could do by our own merit that we would deserve to live in eternity with God. But then the blood of Jesus Christ came. Then this wonderful Savior came. He stripped himself of his glory, got out from his throne from heaven, clothed himself in our human frailty. He went through our struggles, went through our pains. He went through every single thing, according to the book of Hebrews, that we could possibly ever go through. And yet he remained sinless. And he remained sinless not to show that he was a great man. He remained sinless because that's who he was. But he remained sinless so that on that cross, he was going to be able to carry all the weight of our sin and our burden and our guilt and our shame and our condemnation upon him. Your broken heart, our poverty mindset, our confusions, everything was going to be placed upon his back. And he had to remain sinless because he knew that his blood was going to come and wash us completely clean and pure. Nothing but the blood brings redemption. Nothing but the blood brings redemption. I don't know about you, but there are days I just need to be redeemed. There's just days I know where everything is screaming out at me, telling me I have no hope. And that's when you just got to listen to the blood, just telling you that you are redeemed. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." We were bought. What does that mean to us? I no longer belong to me. Galatians 2:20 says that I no longer live, but Christ lives inside of my life. And if I live, I live for Christ. And if I die, it's gain. I no longer live for me. See, the problem is we continue living as though we belong to ourselves. But I belong to Jesus Christ. As long as I submit myself to him, to trust him, to trust the blood that covered me, to trust his love over me, to trust his peace that overwhelms me, the longer I stay in the place where Christ wants me to be, is the place where I'm going to be able to live in victory. Is a place I'm going to be able to live as the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath. But it's only when I recognize the chains that I wear are chained to Jesus Christ. That's the only time. Nothing but the blood brings propitiation, which just means atonement, which just means that someone took our place. And I remember another awesome story. You know, your pastor loves stories. And I'm probably going to repeat some throughout the years that you know me. But it was a story of a judge who was sentencing a young lady. And he was up with his gavel in his judgment seat. And he looked at this girl and said, "How do you plead?" And the girl said, "Guilty." And he put his gavel down and said, "You're guilty." And he said, "I'm going to fine you this amount of money." And the girl accepted it. And the second he put his gavel down and he sentenced her and he convicted her of her law breaking, the second the court was over, this judge got up from his seat, got down from his judge's area, took off his robe, and he grabbed his daughter, who he had just sentenced, and he went and paid her fine. The righteous judge that we serve in Jesus Christ is one who knows about our sin. But he took himself off of his glory and everything. He came down to our level and he said, yes, yes, Satan, they have sinned, but they have come and they have embraced me. So because they have embraced me, look at the stripes on my back. Look at the nails in my hand. Look at the nails in my feet and see that I paid the price for them. They are worth more than anything you could ever throw at them. We serve that type of judge, and he was our atonement. Amen. Nothing but the blood brings healing. Nothing but the blood brings healing. More than just physical healing. It brings emotional healing. Healing from our past. Healing from grievances. Healing from betrayals. Healing from lies. Only but the blood of Jesus is the one that brings us healing. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says that he was bruised for, that he took our burdens upon his back. That he was whipped for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We have to be able to look at that. He had to go through the suffering that he went through. You know, I haven't watched The Passion of the Christ in about a year. And I don't want to get used to watching it. And I remember that time when he's getting flogged by those two guards. And one huge thing began coming into my mind was, why did he have to go through all that he went through? Could there not have been another way? Could not there have been another solution? But Christ knew that he had to go through everything that he went through, because everything that he went to was significant for things that we had to be delivered from. If he skipped one of the things that he went through, our salvation would be incomplete. We are healed because of what he went through in the hands of those guards. We are healed because of what he went through when he was whipped with those cat of nine tails. We are healed because his blood was poured out on that day. All the mocking, all the ridicule, all the betrayal, all the lies, the way he was framed, the way he was lied upon. He had to go through all those things so that our salvation, our redemption, our deliverance could be made 100% complete. Nothing but the blood brings protection. Exodus chapter 12, 13. And you've heard me say many times before, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, while the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Exodus 12, 13, talking about the blood. And it says, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, this is God speaking, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. In Exodus 12, 23, it says, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, and I will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Romans and Corinthians both state that we are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are in the temples of the Holy Spirit, and being that temple, when God looks over our life, he needs to see the blood of Jesus covering us. And when there's a plague, and when there's calamity happening, and when the whole world is coming down, it will not come near us, says the word of God. Though 1,000 may fall to your right, 10,000 to your left, it will not come near you. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the day you grab a hold of that, the day you grab a hold of that and you declare the power of that blood over your life. And I don't care if you got to wake up every morning and you got to pretend like you're grabbing that blood and say, Lord, I'm washing myself this morning with that blood of Jesus Christ. So I put all calamity and all sickness and I put all calamity and sickness on an alert. That I am a blood-washed believer of Jesus Christ, and you cannot come near me. There's got to be an excitement when we wake up in the morning knowing that we've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But the blood of Jesus brings protection. Nothing but the blood of Jesus brings deliverance. Romans chapter 7 says, but now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit. And 2 Timothy 4:18 says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. The blood of Jesus brings us deliverance. Every single thing that you go through, there is a deliverance for it. There is nothing too great that God can't handle. There is no struggle too hard that God can't get you out of. There is no storm too violent that God can't rescue you from, because you're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood, just as it cries out to you, it cries out to Him. And the second you just cry out as one being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you got to watch out, because your deliverer is coming pretty quickly. He's going to come like a storm. The Bible says He's going to come like a giant army, devouring everything in its path. The Bible says that His love for us is as a roaring fire. The Bible says that we are the apple of His eye. The Bible says that He is calling out to us, that we are His and He is ours. That when we cry out to Him, this vast, enormous God that fills the whole universe, pushes back planets and stars and suns, pushes back mountains to go to your bedroom or to the place we are crying out to Him to be your deliverer. That's the God that we serve. Nothing but the blood brings strength. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. The blood of Jesus Christ brings us strength. He was made weak so we can be made strong. He was made poor so we can be made rich. Every single time we come before the cross of Jesus Christ, listen to me. Every single time we come before the cross of Jesus Christ, it's a place of exchange. Just like the song says, I'm trading my ashes in for beauty. I'm changing my mourning for an oil of joy. It's a place of exchange. Lord, I lay down my sicknesses and I pick up your healing. Lord, I lay down my ashes and I'm picking up my joy, Father God, today. I'm laying down my struggles and I'm picking up my victory. It's a place of exchange. And it was made to be that place deliberately for us. Though the crosses that we see all over the churches, they don't have any power in and of themselves. But the power that it represents for us, that's something else. The power of the blood of Jesus is still crying out to us today. All we have to do is listen. All we have to do is listen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus brings transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I'm trembling, I'm so excited. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, but we live by faith, not by what we see. We should be cheerful because we would rather leave these bodies and be at home with the Lord. But whether you're at home with the Lord or away from Him, we will try our best to please Him. As long as we are in our bodies, we are away from the Lord. But we live by faith, not by what we see. The blood of the Lamb is our only source of spiritual life. The blood of Jesus transforms us. The blood of Jesus, just like as it transformed the murderer like Moses into a deliverer, a shepherd like David into a king, a weakling like Gideon into a great mighty warrior, can transform you into absolutely anything. All we have to do is stop looking at our natural and begin looking at the supernatural. Stop looking and stop placing God in a box and telling Him what He can and cannot do. And just realize that we serve a sovereign God who could do whatever with whomever, whenever, and however He wants to. That we serve a God who calls the things that are not as though they are. That we serve a God who calls the things that are dead and calls them alive. We serve a God of transformation. Amen. Without the inoculation of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have no life. So what we have to do, and I'm preaching this today, especially on Communion Sunday, so that you never approach the Lord's table lightly. So that you always recognize what it means when you're drinking that cup, what it means when you're eating that bread. And you don't have to wait for Communion Sunday to have communion. If you need a pick-me-up, if you need a realize and a remembrance of what Christ did for you, bust out the saltine crackers and a Welch's grapefruit juice. Bring out a little Dixie cup and sit down in a little corner of your house and recognize that those things in that moment signify something much more powerful than what they are in the natural. And then bring to remembrance every single thing that God has spoken over your life. Bring to remembrance once again everything that the gospel screamed out what Christ did for us. And boy, I can't wait for Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, we're going to be talking about the cross. And we're going to go in detail and we're going to kick Satan right in his rear end. And we're going to liberate some folks who are going to come and hear the word of God. And they're going to come and realize that they have been living under the means that Christ has called them to live. And we're going to liberate some folks to begin dreaming humongous dreams, no longer bound by failures in the past, but they're going to begin to be released to begin dreaming the dreams that God has called them to dream. Charles Spurgeon said it like this: without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Every drop of blood which flowed out of Jesus' body is still in existence. And it is just as it was over 2,000 years ago, wiping away the sins of mankind. The blood has been shed, the incorruptible, eternal, divine, sinless, overcoming, precious blood. It availed then and it avails now. And through all eternity, it will never lose its power to bring life. The question then becomes, have you been inoculated with the life-giving blood of Jesus Christ? Have you been bathed in that blood of Jesus Christ? Has your sin-sick soul been made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ? If not, why not? We don't come to church just to sing a couple songs. I know you don't come to church to come hear me sing. You don't come to church just because we got the greatest facilities, unless you want to come here to work out. We come to this building to worship God. We come to this building to have an encounter with God. You have to be as determined as Dr. Rue to inoculate every single diseased soul with the blood of the overcomer. Or are you content to let them die in their sin? See, another thing that the blood of Jesus Christ compels us to do, it compels us to get out of our comfortableness. It compels us to get out of our little comfort zone, our little box. It compels us to move out of the place where we're at, to place us in the places where God wants us to be, which may be places that are uncomfortable to our character or to our personality. The blood of Jesus Christ compels us to go and do the things that we've been scared to do in the past. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks about the love of God, which says, and my Bible says that the love of God dispels all fear. The love of God is what pushes us. The love of God is what compels us. The love of God is what fills us with zeal and passion and drive and pushes us to talk to others around us about His love and about His sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ has given us the freedom to speak His word, knowing that we don't walk in shame anymore or condemnation, but He has ordained us through Matthew 28 to go into all nations and to be His witnesses. Galatians 3:13, and I'll finish with this. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ died for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. I don't want one drop of that blood to go to waste in my life. I don't want one drop of that blood to go to waste in my life. Not one drop. Every single drop that Christ Jesus poured out for me, I want to live it 100%. I want to take advantage of it 100%. And I pray that every single one of you don't let any one of those drops of blood go to waste in your life. No more buts. Only yes, Lord. I am yours and you are mine. Let's just close our eyes and pray.